Okay, do you believe that, wait, how come I'm hearing an echo? Oh well. Anyway, the elements of earth, wind, fire, and water, are those considered the rudimentary elements that Paul talked about that we are not subject to? And as sons, we have a power and authority over those elements. Do you have experience with that?
Well, I would say that those are the sort of natural things that people say are the elements, but I don't think when God's talking about the elementary things, he's really talking about those four physical things. I think he's talking about overall matter, all created matter, so that would encompass everything. So basically, God made everything out of light. When he spoke it into being, it's like light and sound working together, released everything into being out of his heart, out of his purpose, out of his mind, whichever way you want to put it. So I think earth, wind, fire, water are sort of the traditional way people think of the elements, and it would include all those, but it would include everything, you know, because we are called to be able to administer the kingdom, and therefore the rule of God would be over everything, so both natural and spiritual realm in that sense. So I think we wouldn't want to limit it to those four things when those four things are in cells made up of essentially basic quantum particles. And I think we have the authority to learn how to engage the quantum realm and how this realm is held together, and can access the frequency and the vibration of that. And, you know, essentially everything is vibrational frequency or energy that is solid because of how the frequency vibrates and we relate to it. So it's the spiritual realm is the reality, and this one is a reflection of it. So I think we have authority in both realms to operate.
Well, I was hoping that we could go before the Lord on behalf of the West Coast and ask for the water to come. As a group, could we do that?
Yeah, I mean, if you feel you've got a mandate to do it, or you have authority to do it, I think this is where you have anything that's going to operate governmentally, you need a mandate from God. So yeah. If anyone who feels called to the Southwest, or feels called to the government of the Southwest, or has been given a specific mandate from God to do it, then yeah, you can certainly go to the court and you can engage, you know, whatever the blockages or accusations are, and deal with it. Or you can administrate it from the mountain that gives you the authority over that realm. I personally haven't got that authority.
I do.
A level of authority in some aspects, but I haven't got that authority personally. It's not my mountain to do it. So I don't know. I mean, depends whether you feel you've got an authorized mandate to do it. If you do, then yeah, certainly you can engage that and you can outwork that.
Yeah, I do. I'm a native of California, and I carry her in my heart, and I have felt he has given me jurisdiction over.
Yeah.
And the drought is extreme over there. I mean, I've even heard where where they're talking about exporting people out of the state because the drought is so bad.
Yeah, I think some of it is dealing with some of the accusations the enemy would have in that area. For instance, one of the accusations would be that California sold all its water off and profited out of it, and now it hasn't got any left. Which is true. I was talking to someone again from that area, and they sold and are selling water, which is quite surprising to hear, but actually they have been doing that for a long time. So there may be some actual accusations made that the enemy has a legal right because of corruption and other things that have gone on within the natural government that probably need to be addressed in some way. But I'm completely, if anyone wants to do that, then I don't know whether here is the most appropriate setting for it, because you're going to be doing it publicly. It's whether you want to do it publicly or not. If you feel you've got a mandate to do it, you can do it private. Do you know others who feel the same mandate that you can join with?
I probably could find them, but yeah, I just know that this morning, those four elements came into my brain, and as I was thinking upon them, California came to mind, and the Lord was showing me, "You're a son. You have authority over all the elements." And so, because of the severity of the situation out there, and from what I understand, it's not a God thing, it's a man thing that created that. I mean, it's like the weather has been being controlled by man, and so anyway, so as sons, we can come up higher than what man is doing to earth, because the Lord's.
Yeah, no, you can. I think when it there are various aspects of when you begin to administrate that stuff. There is water in California. It's in the aquifers of the deep, not necessarily the stuff that's going to fall out of the sky. So some way you may need to open up the fountains of the deep to release water to come from within. So there may be different ways of administrating that and government releasing that government into that realm.
Yeah. Well, I also know that for a long time I'd been praying that they would listen to Israel, and now they are. I mean, it's taken forever, but Israel knows how to make plants where you can convert ocean water,
Yeah,
desal.
desalination stuff, yeah.
And so that's just getting started, but oh my gosh, it's taken so long for them to have the wisdom, or to get the wisdom, or to receive the wisdom and how to convert the ocean into water, clean drinking water. He's frozen.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, are you back? All right.
Yeah, we lost a few.
All right.
Anyway, yeah. If Pam's got questions and you want to talk about other things, that's fine. I can find other people.
I have got people I can connect you up with who are operating governmentally in California.
Okay.
I can pass on your email to them. They can get in touch because they're beginning to begin to engage governmentally. I mean, I've got a couple of groups of people that are from that region in the Alpha group that I engage with, and there's plenty of people in the Beta group who are from that area.
Okay.
I personally I know that I haven't got that mandate to do that myself. I'm just not sure whether it'd be wise to do it publicly. just in case there are, you know, things that come up in the court case that you may not want to air publicly.
Okay.
But I certainly believe you can definitely begin to administrate that with a mandate. But the best thing to do is I'll send them your email and ask them to get in touch. Then they can get in touch and you can begin to maybe to talk about what you want to do with it. So.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, all right, no problem.
Yeah, Paula, part of the ley line that I work with is one leg of it is in California, and my thoughts are, you know, you get a group of 10 together. You know, get a group of 10 together and explore that. Build a case. Right?
Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, I'm very much looking to engage with people who are operating governmentally or feel that they are, call to that. And put together a group of people who are looking to engage that in their regions and areas, because I want to see, you know, when I went to the Northwest, there was a lot of it was about government. There was a lot of it helping them establish benches, see blueprints, start to take back authority for their area from a higher realm. And I know God wants to establish that across the U.S. And so I'm going to be probably putting out a message soon just to invite people who know their call, whether it's to their city or to their state or region, they know their call to that level of government, so that we can start to do some of that. It won't be a public broadcast thing, but we can actually start to legislate, engage blueprints, begin to set up benches in different regions and areas as God directs, to begin to take, you know, the government seriously in those areas, because I know God's got a lot on his heart to establish these things for what's coming, so I think it's important. So I'm going to probably send out a message next week just to see who's maybe interested in that, you know. And this isn't just, I'm not just talking about learning how to govern, you know, in your own mountain or something. It's more about a regional or a national or certainly a state areas type of authority. So I think it's important that we really start to engage this stuff. So totally up for moving forward in these things. Going forward, I know it's absolutely vital that we you know, begin to see cities of refuge formed and blueprints for those cities of refuge and seeing those called out and released. And there's a lot governmentally that God is looking to do right now. So I certainly will be looking to help facilitate some of that going forward, but I know I wouldn't want to do that in a public setting.
There's certainly been a lot going on with me since you've been gone. There's this place I've discovered called the Court of Oracles, which, or at least that's my perception or perspective of it, which is interesting because it's a higher court, the enemy's not there, but you, all the scrolls get laid out and they go through, the Lord said this, and they go through and look for where it's written, and the enemy did this against it, and, you know, they're lining up all these scrolls and trying to understand it, but I've taken a couple of cases there. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Court of Oracles. Yeah, there's lots of courts, which I think people have different names for the same thing. I mean, you know, there are some of the chancellor's houses are very engaged with the scrolls. There's a scroll house. There are also scrolls associated with the culture of nations and with the affairs of nations and with releasing the discoveries of the mysteries hidden in darkness. I mean, there's lots of places that contain scrolls. I mean, you have the scroll room, the record room, if you like, where the scribes put everything into order, where you can read the record of everything on the scroll. So, yeah, certainly an area that more and more people are beginning to engage with. As more and more people begin to take responsibility, because, you know, we need those scrolls for, you know, what is God's purpose for our nation or our city or our region? You know, what's on those scrolls? And some of them are to do with the culture of our era, some of them are to do with the affairs, to administrate the affairs, to bring the redemptive gift for our areas and regions into play and into the forefront. So, yeah, I think there are, people are beginning to engage in some of these areas. I think we're going to see a lot more coming, I think, in that.
That's another interesting thing. I've mentioned to you before, the Lord has told me to walk the event horizon for years, walk the event horizon. And I always thought it was like this singularity where the duality of spirit and natural come together and you sort of walk both, but it's far more. I mean, it's almost a timeline. I mean, he's been engaging a lot of people recently and even releasing movies. I mean, he took me back and forth, up and down the timeline, making changes, little changes that affected the future of, you know, little changes. He said little changes make big, have big impact in the future, and Holy Spirit was governing my every move, you know, like he was on me, like I was a puppet, and, you know, no, not that far, a little less, you know, do this, straighten the wig. And then after that, you know, he confirmed it with crazy movies where I'm watching, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what we were just doing, you know. And then all these teachings now about time and the timeline, he actually moves you about up and down the timeline. And I'm like, well, Lord, this is very interesting. He said, well, you know, you see my acts, it's time to learn my ways. You know, how do you think miracles happen? You know, he manipulates time. And time, he starts having me command time. It's my servant. And you know, and then you hear people like Justin teaching, commanding the time. It's really interesting. It's really a lot going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's different aspects of that. There's the governmental aspect of time where we need to be administering out of eternity and bringing that into our present so that our future will come into alignment with that. And there's that what was, what is, what will be type of aspect to it. There's also the engaging time and being used to go back into time, whereas we're available spiritually and we've been translocated in time to effect and facilitate answering of prayer and facilitating the purposes of God in time. You know, in a sense, it's like it's not like we've changed time, but we were always used in that time. We've just come out of now when we've stepped into the realm of heaven and we can be taken and used when we're available. You know, and I've seen a number of testimonies where people have been used to engage in time, and we're only aware of it now because we're stepping into that realm, but it happened whenever it happened. We've just been used now, because that's what happens with time. It's now, isn't it, for God? So he can take us from here, put us into whatever year, and use us in that, but it will still be, it was then for them, but it's now for us, because it's all now for God when you engage eternity. So, you know, we have access to engage in it in that way. But there's probably, you know, there's a lot more to also understand the administration of that, and I'm sure there are, you know, people are going to come out with much more clarity of understanding of it as we move forward. It's interesting stuff, though. You know, I mean, I've been on the timeline many times when I was wanting to go and find out things and go and observe. Most of it was observation to look and see. You know, I have engaged with certain people in that way, you know, to ask some questions, but
he actually had me manipulating things,
right?
In the, you know, move things, like, okay, push those keys so they can be seen straight, like I said, one thing, straighten the wig out, you know, it had an effect in the future, that person's future. Maybe it was they didn't feel the same resentment, you know, because the, you know, wasn't known, or the same self-consciousness because they didn't realize it was a wave or whatever. But he had me doing little tiny adjustments, and then he would take me forward to see the, you know, see the impact, and then go back and forth, and it was just a crazy, crazy experience. And, you know, 3 days later, he starts confirming it with all kinds of, you know, movies and articles, and I'm like, ah, but it's exciting. I mean, actually manipulating things. And the word tech, the word technology was used too, which was interesting. I mean, I'm only giving you bits and pieces of it, but I don't know if I'm assuming it was spiritual technology, but he actually put technology in my hand in one of these encounters. And I don't know, just interesting.
Yeah. I think once you begin to make yourself available to God, then nothing's impossible with God. You know that's the limits need to come off our mind and our consciousness to bring the awareness of the reality that so much is more than we would ever imagine or think. And once we're engaging in that realm, then there are no impossibilities with God. You know, and some of it is, as you say, that he will get you to do things. Some of it, for me, a lot of what I do, rather than doing that, is I go back into eternity, into what was, and I see things from the perspective of the beginning, and then I walk that into now, and then see forward to call things into being according to it, which is most of the sort of things I'm doing in that sort of governmental way. But we're all called to do different things, and we have different roles to play. And you know, I don't get to do an awful lot of outworking of things. And sort of God just moves me into something new, or to understand something and to release that understanding so others can do it. You know, that's part of what my calling is to release others to do those things rather than do it all myself. I understand how to do a lot of things, and I've done some things, but I don't get to stay doing them for very long until I'm called to move into something else. You know, but it's really great when people are able to outwork some of these things in purposes of God, and it's great. I mean, I love hearing testimonies of things like that, because you think, yeah, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. I think we're just operating in a totally different dimension. Yeah, very good. Excellent. Hi, Mary. Okay. You got anything you want to share?
Huh?
You got anything you'd like to share, or?
I do. I want to apologize for being late.
It's okay.
I had to figure it out. But I have been listening to a lot of your supernatural mentoring classes from January. I'm up to May now. And I have a few questions from listening to those.
Okay.
And I've really enjoyed them tremendously. I want to thank you for what you do for us, for all of us, all over the world.
Welcome.
Just because you have such a wealth of knowledge, and that you share it, which is awesome. You don't keep it to yourself. So
no.
I'm very blessed by that. Thank you. I'd like to ask you about the Court of Angels.
Yeah.
If you could explain that literally from beginning to end, and all of the stuff in the middle. And how do we mandate the angels from the court, from that court? And the other thing is, and this may sound like a weird question or a simple question, but why would we go there? Why can't we go to Psalm 91 and say, the angels that God gives them charge over us? Why is it necessary to go to the court of angels?
Okay, well, yeah, interesting. Well, there are different levels of angelic engagement. So there's angelic engagement. The stuff from Psalm 91 is about the guardian angels that have protection and are assigned to us. So they're assigned to our life, and they are ours to work with. They minister for us and with us and to us. And they are authorized by God to do that and are assigned, you know, at birth or before, in a sense, in eternity. So they work with us. But there's a very big difference between that level of engagement, and some of that is, you know, engaged in ministry. My angel brings things sometimes that help me minister and various things like that in cooperation. There's also the different layers or canopy of angels that are around the throne of God. So you've got the 10 layers of the canopy of angels, which comes over us and over, they're over the throne of God, but they recognize when we are in authority and when God's on our throne and we are in, on our mountain. And so the canopy of angels with the different classes of angels are also available for us to minister with. So, you know, you have that 10 layers, you know, from the, you know, the off, the chaos at one end with the living creatures and all the different living creatures, you know, the chaos, and, you know, down through to the seraphim and kashmirim, and but they have different functions. And so it's important to understand that you need to understand what angels to send. I mean, you know, you wouldn't send a kashmelim to do a cherubim or a, you know, well, you wouldn't really send cherubims to do anything. I mean, they're a whole different ballgame. But you would can engage with them around the ark, can engage with them in wisdom and knowledge in different things. So when it comes to the court of angels, it's really like the council. So when God, you read in Kings, God wanted to deal with Ahab. And he went into the assembly with the angels, and he basically said, here's what I want to do. Who will go for me? So there's a sense where angels step forward when they recognize a godly mandate, and they begin to activate it. And some of that is why you engage with that court. And you can't do it just willy-nilly for whatever you fancy doing. You have to have a mandate that authorizes you. And when you have a mandate that authorizes you, you can take that mandate, and they recognize it, and then certain categories of angels or certain angels will step forward to be involved with it. So it isn't an automatic thing, because it's a judicial process. I mean, it's like in a natural government. You know, there is a process of how things get ordered, and the monarch or the president or whatever system of government you have doesn't just think things or say things and everyone jumps into order. There's a process to go through. You have to bring things into legislation. You have to have authorization. I mean, your president cannot make things happen without the House of Representatives in agreement. Which is why your system is such a mess at times, because you have a Democratic president and a Republican House of Representatives, and it's no wonder nothing gets done, because they don't agree. Then they have to basically trade off, and then there's all sorts of things that goes on behind the scenes, which is not how it should be. You know, I mean, our system doesn't work that way. You know, we get a parliament and we get people voted in. There's debate and discussion, but generally they have authorization by our monarch to rule, to govern. And if they have a majority within the government, you know, our prime minister is head of our major political party in government. We don't have that system. But so there are different ways in which things happen. And in heaven, there are judicial processes to follow. So you may have a level of authority that operates within your own sphere of government that has your own angels associated with it. If you have something authorized to deliver in terms of a mandate, you have to go and get angelic assignment for it. Now, once you understand the governmental authority you carry from your mountain, angels do come. You know, they are associated with your place. I mean, I don't always go to the court of angels when I've already got something mandated and agreed. I call them to come and release them because I have authority to do that in accordance with certain legislation and authority that I've been ordered. So I don't have to do it every time. But when I get something new, I often would go through a process of, okay, I want to see those angelic ministers assigned to this mandate. Then once they're assigned, then I can use them or cooperate with them or operate with them, you know, in that way. Also, the angels have the mandate to be able to operate in the atmosphere of the earth. So it's important if we're going to administrate there that we have the right angels effectively involved. Because there are messenger angels, there are angels that are warring angels, there are territorial angels. You have responsibility for areas. We have an angel over our region that and I've engaged with. So there are different angels that have different roles. So in just like in government, you know, you, if you're going to do something with defense, you have to go to the Defense Department and talk to the Secretary of State for Defense. You know, you wouldn't talk to the Educational Minister. So it's in same thing as the kingdom is a system of government. You have to talk to the right people and the right angelic order to get things done. And so that's really why it's not just an automatic thing. There are angels who respond when they hear God's word. And of course, you have many, many angels that are nothing to do with us whatsoever. They're all to do with God and His glory and His majesty, and they surround His throne, and they are involved with Him. But there are also, I mean, Jesus said that He had access to 12 legions of angels, which is quite a lot of angels. Now, I don't know what they were assigned to Him for, but He would have known because He would have been authorized and mandated to do things that they would have got involved with. So, you know, there's a process. And I think once you understand that, then our involvement and engagement with the angelic realm is something which needs to increase. A lot of the different angelic courts are there, I believe, because we've not matured yet. I think they are in operation in a judicial system that we should be operating as sons in. But because not many people have matured, then they still are in place waiting for us. You know, every one of us had an angel in heaven assigned to our mountain. And they looked after the government of our life from that mountain in heaven before we got invested with authority to operate there. And they stand behind our throne. Angels always stand behind us when it comes to administrating because they do not want the attention to be placed on them. You know, that's why when you get descriptions of what goes on in the Word of God, it's always about the message or the purpose that God sent rather than the angel themselves. Other than Ezekiel, when there's pretty sort of interesting description of the spiritual realm and things, most of it just talks about what the angels do or did, not what they look like. Because their intention is always for glory and honor for God, not for themselves. That's why our personal angels, when I see them engage with people, are always behind people, never wanting to draw attention to themselves for that sort of activity. So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of my personal experience with it. You know, you have sort of some fairly heavy duty. We tend to sort of use angels as a generic term for created spiritual beings that have many different names, functions in that realm. You know, the Word of God does unfold the meaning of some of those names when you look at the original language. We often get things translated angel when actually the original term was a specific term, you know, like the, you know, the ophanim, the wheels within wheels, and you know, often seraphim and cherubim are used as a term, but sometimes it gets translated angel when it was a specific order of angels that was being referred to. And the translators didn't necessarily understand it, and they translated it angel. But now we're actually looking at the original meaning, we can actually see that that word actually had a meaning. And sometimes it's just written as the word, and people didn't understand what that word meant. Does that sort of give you some, is there anything more specific you'd like to?
It does. It gives me a lot of food for thought, and it was a very good explanation. You mentioned the mandate. When we get a mandate, do we get the mandate? Where do we get it from? Is it a mandate that we desire? Is it a mandate that God puts on our heart? Is it a mandate that comes out of our mountain? Where does a mandate come from, I guess I'm asking?
Okay, well, it's all of the above that you've mentioned in one sense, but I look to every day, I want to know, like Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So that's a description, really, of a mandate that gives an authorization to do what the Father's doing, and that can come in many different ways. The way that I daily look to engage with that person is I go before the Ark of the Presence of God in the tabernacle, and I engage with the four faces of God, and I look to resonate with the will of God, and I want to come into alignment with his will for me today. And sometimes that mandate comes as a direct direction. You are authorized to do this today. Sometimes it will come as a sort of scroll with authorization on it. I have mandates that are wider than just a daily mandate. So those I have within my mountain already. So my mountain contains the record of the scrolls that I already have given to me. So I'm authorized to administrate them every day, but I only do so as my spirit directs. I do ask for a specific mandate. When the things within the ark, there were three things in the ark. There was the pot of manna, the tablets of stone, and there was the Aaron's rod that budded. And we know that there is a heavenly ark. And I take that metaphorically to Jesus saying, I have food that you know not of. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And we know that the manna was a daily provision for the children of Israel to follow the purposes of God. And so I see it as I'm authorized today to do the will of the Father, and that is representative by that manna. So I figuratively eat that manna as a sign of I want to come into agreement with God's mandate or authorization, but also the provision that's attached to it, so that I would have everything I need to be able to outwork what I'm called to do today. So there's provision and protection that comes with the purpose. So I specifically ask, sometimes, I always open up my heart there, because sometimes it can come as a clear, direct authorization. Sometimes it comes as a writing of things on the tablets of my heart, because God no longer writes on the tablets of stone, he writes on the tablets of our heart. So we can ask him to unveil our destiny, our scroll, the things that our heart will then captivate and cultivate the desires to be able to do those things. And sometimes that happens when he writes there and our heart is moved, and suddenly we're moved with desire to do something. Sometimes it actually causes us to begin to cultivate that desire. God gives us an opening into it, and we then get drawn towards it, and our desire gets stirred, and we begin to focus on it and think about it and meditate on it and engage the word in it, and that then again begins to release that. So our heart follows after the destiny that we've been given and draws us towards it. And you also have Aaron's rod within the ark, which represents the symbol of authority, the scepter to rule. So once you have a mandate, you have to do something with it. And that means you have to go to your mountain or to wherever you're authorized to go, sometimes to another court. You know, depending on what the mandate is, you may need to go to the court of accusation and get a court order. Like, there may be opposition to what you're authorized to do. So maybe you have to go and remove the opposition by going and getting the accusations. You know, it may, you know, that's all part of the process of government. Sometimes the enemy has access to do something where you have to deal with the enemy's access before you can then administrate. So I allow my spirit really to lead. What am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to just to go to my mountain and decree this, declare it, call forth, prophesy it? Am I supposed to ascend angels assigned to it to go and do their stuff in the atmosphere of the earth? Am I supposed to do something judicial to give me authority where there is opposition? All those things are all part of the process of learning how to administrate the kingdom using the authorization that we've been given by God. And that is a process you have to learn. I mean, it's not something that you're just going to immediately know everything, but generally, as a rule of thumb, I go daily to go and find how I can come into alignment and agreement with God's will for me today, my destiny today, and then begin to learn how to administrate that. And it may be a simple thing. It may then be more, you know, sometimes I get a mandate and it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do with it? I don't understand, you know, and sometimes I don't need to understand. And sometimes I do, because there may be a strategy. So you can also take a mandate, go to the strategy, you know, court or council, and get strategy. What am I supposed to do with this? You know, just because you've got something doesn't mean you know how to do it. So there are also strategies attached to certain things that we need to know what to do. That may be an earthly strategy. It may be a heavenly one. But it's a, you know, it's a learning curve in these things. I go before the Ark of the Prince of God every day. It's my place where I establish what I'm called to do today, what I'm authorized to do, what I have authority-wise. I present myself as a living sacrifice, so I don't want my agenda, not my will, but His be done. I surrender the rule, the government of God to my life. You know, He's my head. He can place His government on my shoulders. You know, I want to walk out that will today. So I look to engage, you know, and there are deeper levels of engagement around the ark. You can then engage the four faces of God, and you can begin to see from a perspective of the lion, maybe, government, kingly authority. You may see from the ox, the prophetic. You may see from the apostolic, the eagle, or from the man, the priestly function, because we have to operate according to the order of Melchizedek. So we have to engage with the four faces of God, which is His order of government, and you can also do that around the ark, which gives you a perspective of how do I see things from the kingly perspective. So I see from that. I get drawn to it. You can also step into the four faces because we're in Him, and that gives us access into what was. We can go back into eternity to see the beginning, God's purpose, and then we can begin to administrate that in our priestly function, bring that into now, and then begin to rule from the kingly function. And that's another level. Then you can speak out from the mouth of the lion and roar. You know, it may not be a physical roar, but it will be certainly a spiritual one. And I've heard people roar. And it may be things you speak a kingly order into, maybe a prophetic order. And sometimes you see from that perspective, and you see things totally differently when you look out of the eyes of the lion or the ox or the eagle and the man. But you have to step into it to be able to see out of it. And that's really where the power of attorney comes from, in the name of Jesus. So you have lion, ox, eagle, man, yod, hey, vav, hey. And when we step into that, it becomes yod, hey, shin, vav, hey, which means that we carry the name or the power of attorney of Jesus, because when we do things in his name, it says the Father will give you everything we need. Anything you ask in my name, well, you have to caveat that with in accordance with his will and purpose, not just anything we fancy saying in his name. And of course, the name, you know, using the name in the name of Jesus at the end of a prayer or whatever really is mostly just a lucky charm for a lot of people. It's not really carries any authority because they're not standing in his name and they're not engaged in heaven. So we can literally be standing in him, in his name, and therefore being able to operate from the four faces of God in fullness. And therefore kingly and priestly agreement in heaven, apostolic and prophetic on the earth, or I think as Ian is now teaching different words to delineate between an old order and a new, legislative and oracle. So legislator and oracle rather than apostle and prophet, because I think people get so mixed up with the sort of the fivefold ministry role of a prophet and apostle to teach people to operate in that, which most of them haven't really done. So we are operating in another different order. Yeah.
Well, thank you for adding that with the four faces, because that was like the word of knowledge for me, because I had been seeking the Lord about going into before the ark and seeing through the four faces, and I felt a little awkward with it. And so now you've given me more to food for thought to activate and to move in.
Yeah.
I have a, just to spin off of what you said, what do you think of this? Is the fivefold in the earth, say that this fivefold ministry comes order under the order of, or into, under, around, activated in the order of Melchizedek, does that bring that Melchizedek order into the earth through the fivefold ministry as they get a revelation of Melchizedek, of that order? You see what I'm saying? Because if you would go to somebody and say, well, God has done away with now the fivefold ministry, they would look at you like you had six heads. They would. And so how would you even address that? I mean, I have never brought that up to anybody because I know the response I'm going to get. And so how would you address that? And I can't hear you.
I would address it from the point of, what was the fivefold ministry given to do? There is nothing in Ephesians 4 that talks about government or rulership. It's all to do with equipping the saints for service. And where the fivefold ministry has taken on governmental role, I actually believe that is why God has ended it. Because rather than equipping the church to serve, they did it for the church, or four people, and made a created a dependency upon them. So rather than, you know, how many people have gone to a prophetic conference to get a prophetic word from God? Loads. And then they get a word from the prophet, and then they go again to the next one because they want another word. How many prophetic conferences taught those people to go and hear God for themselves and engage God? Very few of them. So they set up an order which was never intended. I mean, the pastoral, which doesn't exist in a sense in a reality of the word, it means shepherd, and that the whole government of virtually the whole church was set up under an order which actually came out of Constantine reorganizing the church around a priesthood, because they had a whole load of priests that are out of a job when they converted to Christianity. It had nothing to do with the structure. The heavenly structure is a bench of three, which is a judicial bench that represents heaven on earth. There was no concept of any fivefold ministry ruling it as a one person. it isn't there. So when people would look at, I would challenge the fact of how that functions. It was never intended to function as rulership. It was always intended to be discipleship into the equipping of the saints, so that the saints could engage God for themselves, rather than creating an old covenant mediatorial system, which means we have to go through people to get to God. Now, I'm not sure saying they deliberately did that, but in reality, that was the result, because they ruled on top of the mountain. And you couldn't go, because, you know, how many of it, well, who gives the direction to the church? Mostly, you would say the leaders, because other people can't hear God for that sort of direction, whereas actually that's not what God intended. God intended a judicial system of a bench of three who would weigh that which others were released to bring and help them put it into order. And it's a foundational, leadership is foundational, and governmental is foundational. That's why it says in Ephesians 4, the foundations of the church are apostles and prophets, not the government of the church to rule over it, but to be the foundations on which things are built. Therefore, you have to release people to go into those foundations. But if you sit on top of a mountain and rule, then no one can go anywhere but through you. And that's why the order has ended. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that the gifts have ended. It just means that the order, which have been restored to the church over the past, I don't know, I guess 800 years, you had the restoration of the different order to the church. And rather than encompassing that and equipping the body, each of those orders took government. And the different governments have come through, you know, the different forms over the years. And eventually you had the prophetic really released in the 80s. And then you had the apostolic in the 90s and the noughties. And they failed to equip the people of God to engage God. And that would have brought them into a heavenly engagement. They failed. You know, I'm not saying all of them. I don't want to, you know, tar everyone with the same brush, but generally the whole order failed to do that and has created a dependent church rather than a one who can engage God for themselves. And there's, of course, a lot of control systems that potentially can come out of that. So the order of Melchizedek is not supposed to operate that way. It's, again, it's about releasing the blueprint of heaven so that people can, as living stones, fulfill their destiny within God's purpose. So it forms a shadow on the earth. And that's how it gets outworked. And I can, let me see if I can give a picture of that. There we go. So in a sense, you have Father, Son, and Spirit in heaven forming a blueprint. And when there's an agreement between priestly and kingly functions, an arc forms, and that blueprint can be manifested as a shadow on the earth. And a shadow forms when you have a light shining on something to produce that shadow. And then that shadow needs to be filled. So when you have the agreement of the blueprint, then you have the apostolic, prophetic, or the legislation and the oracle carrying the word and the government for that blueprint, who become the foundation on the earth. So then you have a bench of three forming around that blueprint to release people, and that could be, you know, ecclesia, region, nation, whatever, to fill that blueprint. So everything then operates from a perspective of this way up. So everything is released. Everyone can see God for themselves. Everyone can see where they fit into this. What people have done is that they got a vision or an apostolic vision, and they built a mountain like this on the earth. Rather than a reflection of heaven, it looked to copy heaven, and so everyone sat on top of it. And therefore, people were under having to fit into the blueprint rather than here being released to find their own place in God's purpose. So the foundation.